I mean, I'm just like, what can we use? What can't we use?
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Levitard. We got Mina Kimes, Katie Nolan, Pablo Torre, and a surprise appearance by Lenny. Let's do it.
Lenny!
What do you make of Daryl Morey's decision to step down from the Rockets?
I was bummed out by this, and then I thought about it for a second, and it reminded me of back when Ricky Williams was such an eccentric, and he was an artist sort of trying to fit in on Army's rigidities. I was like, Daryl Morey doesn't seem like he fits in this world of basketball. He likes other things. He's a creative. He's somebody who's writing musicals about sexual giants in his spare time. And he's sort of fiddling around with this this little toy of basketball and saying, oh, I'll put James Harden here. I'll take big swings. I won't be conservative at all. I hope this is him getting on to a new creative life because basketball, the world is too small for him.
Yeah, this is obviously breaking news for us, so there isn't much that I can add to that. I'll just say that my personal experience with Daryl Morey, because I've gone to his Sloan Conference in Boston for the past couple of years, he just didn't feel like the kind of guy that normally is in that role, and that's not a negative, and it's not even necessarily a positive. He just was, I don't know, he was very welcoming, and he was very easy to talk to. I've texted with him, and that's not a thing I can say, because if you know the kind of stuff I do on this network, it's not really the person who texts with sources. He drinks Mountain Dew on stage at Sloan. It's just like all these little things about him that make him different and interesting and easy to approach. So it's a bummer to see him go.
But I do want to commemorate what he did with the Houston Rockets, though, because as the history of basketball culture goes, he's a seminal figure. He is the Billy Beane of the NBA in various respects, founding that conference of nerds that all of us, I think, have gone to at some point, just being one piece of it. The Houston Rockets are hailed as this template for being a data-driven, analytically-minded front office that other teams have tried to copy. He has had a fruitful front office general managing tree. But when this news came out, my first thought was, yeah, I'm not surprised by this. He's been warring with his owner, Tillman Fertitta, who's kind of a loose cannon businessman in his own right. But the second thing is, it's not surprising because Daryl Morey, let's not forget, is seminal because he's the guy who tweeted Free Hong Kong, that meme, had to delete it, and launched this entire political fight between the NBA and America and China. And so for that reason, the disappearance of Daryl Morey after this past season always felt foretold. I'm just curious how much that's going to rise to the surface as we do the postmortem on it.
For all the reasons you guys gave, I think this isn't particularly surprising, right? Like after the China incident, I imagine he's kind of sick of all of this and wants a break. Katie, you're right. He's like this creative, interesting guy who's clearly keen on going into other fields. I mean, my first interaction with Daryl Morey was that he tried to hire me to do an Etch-A-Sketch to lure free agents. This is an actual thing that happened a few years ago.
Wow, name drop. Etch-A-Sketch drop. That's never been done before. Never in the history of television has someone... Do you have it? Is it nearby?
My Etch-A-Sketch is downstairs, but never in the history of television has someone name dropped via Etch-A-Sketch, but also never in the history of basketball has a GM tried to lure a free agent with an Etch-A-Sketch. I had to tell Daryl that if I did this, I would then have to report on who he was trying to bring in via my Etch-A-Sketch source, which would probably be a first in the history of basketball.
Well, hold on. Number one.
The mean a difference.
Number one, what kind of a weirdo NBA superstar would look at that Etch-A-Sketch by Mina Kimes and be like, yes, this is my team? And number two, if that news that Mina just broke herself had come out before Daryl's deposal, I would have been like, yeah, he probably stepped down because that is super humiliating.
And right now, it has Gritty. That was the last thing I Etch-A-Sketched.
She's really good at it. She is. It's a strange, it's such an unusual talent to have.
Yeah, it's not really working.
I can't even tell.
Wow.
Oh, I see. Oh, there he is.
There's old Gritty. Wow. Look at that. Look at that. That's pretty good for an Etch-A-Sketch. Like, I don't know
even
how
that Flyers logo is pretty good.
This is amazing. guessing.
Also, yeah, perfect right. metaphor for like how we all create content now. We just all are drawing nonsense and then it gets shaken up and no one ever sees it ever again.
Oh.
Do you trust Clayton Kershaw to come through tonight for the Dodgers?
It was such a good argument I had with Stu Gatz on the radio today where he's like, oh, he's got back spasms now. He's in a no-lose position. He can't lose tonight. Even if he loses, he can't lose. And I'm like, no, with you, it's that he can't win tonight no matter what he does. Because if he wins tonight and pitches well, the next game will be the important one. Not the last one when he pitched against the Brewers and he struck out a bunch of guys. That wasn't an important game because the only kinds of games that Clayton Kershaw pitches in these days are the games where he can only win if there's not a game the next day that isn't game 8 of the World Series. He's got to win at this point, the big one, because that's his reputation, and there's no winning for him. Even if he wins tonight, we'll tell him to do it again.
So Clayton Kershaw right now is on track to have the best postseason he has ever had. He is 2-0. His ERA is 1.93, which is obviously much better than his track record. He has been pitching well all year. Like, I intellectually know all of these things, but I will be watching this game tonight and every Kershaw outing the same way I watched the movie Black Swan, like this. Like, through my, I went to the theater to see Black Swan. I saw probably 20% of it. Honestly, you could tell me that there were actual swans in it and I would believe you. He is terrifying, and yet titillating. Like, I will never miss a Clayton Kershaw start because it feels kind of exciting and potentially like rubbernecking.
Yeah, it feels disturbing and sad and uncomfortable because Clayton Kershaw, for the record, he is, I believe, the starting pitcher with the lowest ERA career in like the live ball era. He is probably the best left-hander of his generation, maybe ever, depending on your mileage. So the fact that that guy is also the guy who was utterly broken in the playoffs last year after giving up back-to-back home runs against the Nationals to the point where he sat in front of everybody and said very pathetically, and I don't even say that pejoratively, just objectively pathetically, everything they say about me in the postseason is true right now. That's a Clayton Kershaw quote. Like, do I trust that guy? No, I don't trust that guy. I root for him, but I don't trust him.
Yeah, but I think you could make the argument that he's worth trusting because this narrative about him in this story is so sticky and people like it and follow it and talk about it so much because it's rooted in this fear that that could happen to us, right? That's what sports fans are doing. They're like, this guy is the best until he needs to be the best and then he's bad. That would be terrifying for me. I would be terrified to not be able to perform in big game situations. So people talk about it a lot. But what we might be finding out is that this might be about routine, because Kershaw has always been the kind of person who has this routine that he sticks to, down to the second of when he's going to heat his arm or down to the milliliter of how many ounces of liquid or whatever that he needs to drink to stay perfectly hydrated. Everything was routine. And then this past year, he sort of broke from his routine. He noticed that his slider was getting too close in velocity to his fastball as his fastball was decreasing. And so he went and got help. From a young guy, he went to Driveline, he worked on his fastball, he found that analytically he was overcompensating for his injury in his back and messing up his throwing motion. And so he changed. And so I feel like if there's any reason to trust him that he can get it done tonight, it's trust him because he did the scariest thing. He always trusted himself based on his routine and he broke it. So I think we can trust him.
We can root for him. We can root for him.
I mean, we've always rooted for him.
She's so hopeful. She's trying to talk herself into it.
Katie couldn't even prevent her voice from rising in a way that indicated that she does not trust her.
She lost confidence. She really did.
I trust him.
No, you don't trust him.
Katie just gave us like incredibly well-researched and detailed baseball analysis. And the whole time I was thinking if Poppy was here, he would be going,
Yes, you don't trust him.
I trust him.
My father does have a comment.
Clayton Kershaw, he's going to get a little tickle in the back of his throat and then...
No!
Why?
No!
The first time he did it next to me, I was legitimately worried about his health.
I'm going to say it. I don't like watching him choke on TV.
No, not during a pandemic. Even thank you for saying it.
During a pandemic,
Katie, thank
even
you
that
for
I haven't
saying
seen him in person
thank,
in
Katie,
a while.
Katie, thank you for having the strength to say that. You are absolutely right. During a pandemic, you've got an old man coughing in glasses. Yeah. Stop treating my father like he's your prop, highly questionable lazy producers.
Coming up next on my Soul's TV show.
Yeah, so I just want to just point out that Pablo was using an analogy to call Aaron Rodgers pretentious that in and of itself was extraordinarily pretentious.
Wow, Pablo, yeah. That was maximum it. Pablo.
Yeah.
Like, was that was
really,
hard.
Let me just
absolutely really set worse. Me up. You really set me up for really, success. Really,
you guys learned something, really. Though. I bet you learned something.
No.
Is Dan's beloved, precious Aaron Rodgers right that we shouldn't look at Sunday's game as a battle between him and Katie's beloved, precious what? Tom Brady?
Okay, so I believe that the greatest tension, a real friction that I have in any kind of professional or personal relationship that I have with Mina Kimes is born of the fact that she has, under her breath, with all her numbers, said to me in recent years, well, your beloved Aaron Rodgers, you know, he throws the ball away a lot, and he's not quite as great as he used to be, even though he's really, really great. And I have found it offensive personally. She's going to deny all of this course. Now and say it's not so. But I just love that Aaron Rodgers is great at football again. There, I said it. Thank you, my beloved.
Again,
returning
you said again.
To my beloved.
So brave.
My beloved.
I apologize for accurately representing reality when it was happening in the moment. And then now accurately representing reality when I say Aaron Rodgers is great. It's a crazy thing, Dan. Sometimes players have up years and down years, as implied by the fact that you said, again, I don't really see the tension or disagreement in that. But I'm going to actually address the question, unlike you, instead of using this as but a reason to take shots. I don't like wins as a referendum on quarterbacks. It is literally in my Twitter bio. Wins are not a QB stat, which is one of the saddest sentences ever.
It really
said.
Is.
It really is unbelievably sad.
The notion that people are not going to look at this game between these two goats that way, especially when they are 1-1 against each other, is unfortunately wishful thinking. And knowing Rodgers, as we do, he is one of the most competitive people on planet Earth. So while I do believe he intellectually thinks this is not about him versus Brady, you know he would love to go 2-1 against Tom, because it's probably going to be the last time they face each other.
But if anyone cares more about the fact that this is going to be a duel despite Rodgers' protestations, it's Tom Brady, right? Tom Brady just had a very infamous senior moment in which his mental acuity was called into question because he forgot how many downs there are. And now he's going in against Aaron Rodgers at age 36, who is, as you guys have now established very accurately, as good maybe as he's ever been. Like, this to me is about Tom Brady's personal existentialism. The secondary storyline is, in fact, that Aaron Rodgers has big, like, pedantic. Did you know that Frankenstein is actually the doctor energy? Like, that's him. The monster is Frankenstein's monster. Frankenstein is the doctor.
I just want to just point out that Pablo was using an analogy to call Aaron Rodgers pretentious that in and of itself was extraordinarily pretentious.
Wow, Pablo, that was maximum Pablo.
Yeah,
like, was that was
really
hard.
Let me just
really set me up. You really set me up for success. Really,
you guys learned something, though. I bet you learned something.
No, let me first say my anything. Usual role here is to make Mina Kimes feel superior. It's my only goal in life. And so let me tell you, I do have the more embarrassing Twitter bio, which is lifelong Tampa Bay Vipers fan. I've been meaning to take that out, so I should probably do that now. But speaking of Tampa Bay, Tom and Aaron Rodgers going against each other, also to what Mina said about reporting actual facts, yes, I understand factually he is accurate. It's a quarterback against a defense and a quarterback against a defense, which is what he was saying. But we're all looking at it as a duel. And he has to understand that when something has only happened twice, this will be the third time these two have met by starting the game. it's just, it matters more. It's like whether you like it or not, when you've, let's say, been in a relationship for a long time, when you shave your legs, you don't want it to be about the fact that you shaved your legs, but they're going to remark on it because it happens so rarely. This is universal, wow. right? This is something all people can relate to.
Different.
So this is wow. the shaving your legs of the NFL. Okay, yes. We're all
okay,
look
a little
at
different
it.
Than what Pablo did with this, but yes, I like Katie's analysis better.
I'm bringing it today.
I think we learned a lot about both of you over the last few minutes.
More. Yeah. Too much.
Surprisingly
there it
hairy,
is.
Right?
There, and there he is.
God,
there's the
no,
exhibition.
No one asked for that.
No one asked for that.
I won't do the same.
Pablo. Lett.
I will say they are a lot hairier than I would have guessed.
Cuando el amor llega así de esa manera, uno no se da ni cuenta. El cauca reverdece y el guamachito florece y la soga se revienta. Caballo le da sabana porque está viejo y cansado, pero no se dan de cuenta que un corazón amarrado, cuando le sueltan las riendas, caballo desbocado. Y si una potra alzanera, caballo viejo se encuentra, el pecho se le desgrana y no le hace caso a faceta, y no le obedece a freno ni lo para un pasarrienda.
Do you question if Peyton Manning is surprisingly hot?
What?
Okay, wow. This is not where I expected to go
I do now.
We're going to objectify Peyton Manning with Katie Nolan and Mina Kimes. Let's see. Is he hot?
And Pablo.
Thank you.
Whoa!
Can we? I was going to say, can we count those abs? Good Lord. He has the things. He has those things that you have at your waist. If you're like
the D'Angeloids,
Yes.
Oh wow! I didn't know that. That's what they were called. D'Angeloids. Peyton Manning has D'Angeloids.
I'm uncomfortable with it as well.
So many questions about this. Can we throw those pictures back up though for further scientific examination? Wow. I mean, we went from cut that meat to that meat is cut.
Oh, God.
That was really uncomfortable. Was that as uncomfortable for you ladies as it was for me?
Yes.
That was deeply uncomfortable.
All of this is uncomfortable.
It's putting me in a very weird spot because famously on my podcast, we don't objectify athletes, but also famously, this isn't my podcast. I will just say Peyton Manning, when you look at him, you think dad bod. He just is the epitome. He's supposed to have a dad bod. Something about this is not correct, and it's very like uncanny valley feeling where I'm like, something's wrong here, but good for him.
No, you completely nailed it. It's like seeing your dad shirtless, which is something Dan has had to do now like nearly a decade on live television. So I guess he can kind of relate to that. When you see that, your mind immediately goes to the infamous Eli beach pick. Do we have that?
I don't have that.
Whoa, I forgot about this.
This is iconic. But, you know, in my mind, it's the little bucket that makes it. Yet again, this is an example of Eli showing up Peyton, because Eli's like, I'm securing myself. I don't need an eight pack.
You think Eli showed up Peyton here is what you're saying on television with people listening?
Yes, Peyton is the tryhard, and Eli has just as many rings. Peyton works out. Eli doesn't.
Wow.
Well,
I mean,
if you look close, Eli does have a D'Angeloid. It's a very light, it's a soft
No,
line
that's not
there.
A D'Angeloid.
Oh,
no. No. No, that is. No. It's close.
No. No, that's a D'Angeloid. That's a D'Angeloid. That is not a D'Angeloid.
Tonight at 5:07 p.m. Eastern, Game 5, Rays and Astros.
All right, so you've got Tampa all of a sudden, city of champions. They win at hockey. They might ruin this for everybody in terms of storylines by winning in baseball. And also they got that other guy who is sometimes close to championships, Tom Brady. So Tampa rules the pandemic. We are officially in 2020. But what do we have here? Show me it.
What? Unharmed. He barely reacted.
Where did it hit? His elbow?
Look at that. Yeah, he didn't even care.
Oh, man.
He's like, fine.
And he found it?
Nobody wants them, right? You can. I've watched a lot of Rays baseball. I can name a couple of Rays. I don't know why that is. All their guys look the same. They're smarter and better than everyone else. Mina, are you intrigued in this?
I am. I've said on this show I'm rooting for the Astros just purely for the narrative. But I also do like the idea of Tampa winning championships and being excellent in every sport except the XFL, and Katie Nolan still having Tampa Bay Vipers. Yes.
Wow,
in her Twitter
she took
box.
Another shot at your Vipers, your beloved Vipers. Katie, are you intrigued here?
I am intrigued. I also would like it to be known that I picked the Tampa Bay Vipers, and then Tampa got Tom Brady, won the Stanley Cup, might beat the Astros. So it could be that my instincts are right. I just implement them incorrectly. I predicted the Tampa Rain, which I don't think anybody could have. And so I will still take credit for that. And yeah, I'll watch the game.
Okay, that's about Katie Nolan. That really became about Katie Nolan there. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued because somehow of all the body parts we've shown on this show, the fact that that dude reacted like that might be the most surprising. And also, I think I tore my ACL jumping over my couch.
All right. And then Pablo concludes he will not be outdone by you making it about you.
I was going to say, that was more about Pablo. Makes it about
I was going to raise my leg again, but I can't for the reason I just said about me and my leg.
Because of the hair.
We're out of time here, but if you want more of our panelists, Mina Kimes, The Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, it's very strong football information. Katie Nolan, sports with a question mark. It's kind of sports, it's kind of creative and not sports. And Pablo Torre, his is just ESPN Daily. It's what Mina left in her rear view
just
mirror.
Just?
She left that behind a long time ago.
Here's another story I want you to know. Dan Le Batard is a
goodbye. Have a good day.
He's just lashing out because his name isn't in the podcast title.